Episode 296, Why I Work So Hard.
It's the David Triggs Show. This is the podcast where you can get spiritual power and personal development for everyday life. It's gozo for the whole family, jamba juice for the soul, your daily dose of gozo.
Welcome everybody and welcome to the daily edition of the Trigg Podcast of Joy and Gozo TV. I got my gozo belt right here, got my gozo mug, my gozo hat. So excited to be here with you. Monday through Friday, Monday through Thursday in English, and then Friday in Español for those of you who have a friend or someone who may be interested in the Spanish version of this amazing daily dose of gozo. Happy Labor Day. Happy Labor Day to all of you here in the U.S. Day of rest, a day to take a break from school, from work. I know maybe some of you are just going through the same kind of routine. You have to work, but for those who may have a little time off, maybe a little carne asada, a little barbecue, a little time at the beach, or just simply a day at home resting, reading a book, or listening to the Trigg Podcast of Joy, I want to just say congratulations, and I hope that you enjoy this beautiful day. I want to talk to you today about why I work so hard and why all of us work so hard. This is not just about me or anything. I think all of us, we all, especially in this country, really anywhere in the world, we know that we have to work hard to survive, to make a living, to fulfill our purpose, our destiny, to help other people. And also keeping in mind that not everyone has that privilege. You know, there are people these days that are unemployed, that are underemployed, maybe that are without a home, a place to live. And so always being mindful and praying for those who don't have maybe the same advantages that you and I have, or many others who are being employed unjustly. It's a reality of life that every huge corporation or anything that is profitable has to find ways to cut costs, and injustices can occur. I'm not saying, of course, that every company out there is doing things illegally, but I think we need to pray for those situations and circumstances, labor strikes and all those things that sometimes happen, and to always be mindful. And I want to just pray for you up front. If you are someone who, you might be retired, you might be a young person, and you feel like you're not earning your keep, or meaning what I meant to say is you're not earning the salary that you deserve, I want to pray for you to get to a place where you can have all that you need in Jesus' name. So I want to give you five reasons why I work so hard, why we all work so hard, so that you can be motivated to never give up. So first I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this amazing passage and verse in verse 58 that talks about laboring in vain and how not to labor in vain. Verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Man, that is so beautiful, huh? All of us want to labor for what's right. None of us want to labor in vain, waste our time, spin our wheels doing work that is meaningless. And even if you might be at a place like that, I know I've had situations like that, even if you are stuck, quote unquote, in a job that's not you, you still make the best of it. All of us want to serve God and honor God through our jobs. And so I want to give you a few reasons why to persevere, why to continue to work hard no matter the circumstances. Number one is because we're not working in light of the earth or in light of a paycheck. We're working in light of eternity. You know, this passage of 1 Corinthians 15, 58 is in a context of talking about the resurrection. Very interesting how in the middle of talking about the resurrection and the trumpet and how the imperishable will die and all these things twinkling of an eye, how in the middle of that or at the end of that, Paul here talks about laboring in vain or not laboring in vain. And the reason he does it is because we need to remember that all that we do here on earth and that we see and what we feel is not the end of our lives. It's not the end of you. Stop laboring as if getting a paycheck or having a place to live is all there is. Obviously, the Lord knows that you need those things. Matthew 6 is very clear to not be anxious about tomorrow because the Lord knows what you need. But when we lose perspective and we think that this is all there is, just this year, this month, this life, just what you see in front of you, then you will labor in vain, because like Ecclesiastes said, like Solomon said, you will just consider everything vanity. But when we realize that this is not the end of the road, that there is a life after death, that eternity awaits all of us, then you can relax. I know that you want a nice dress. I know I want nice clothes, or I want a comfortable house. I want AC when it's hot, right? All of us want the comforts of home. But when we realize first that we will one day be gone from this earth, and most of all, when we realize that this is not the end, that there is a mansion in heaven awaiting for us, that there is an eternity with Christ that awaits us, we can keep things in perspective and work hard and work for God. And not, I'm not going to say that we don't get upset when we lose a job. I've been there, and it's the most horrible thing. You feel so scared and afraid. But when you realize that it all belongs to Jesus, you begin to focus on eternity. You begin to focus on things, and you work hard but differently here on earth. Number two is, remember that work makes us anxious, but working for the Lord makes us filled with joy, fills us with joy, brings us peace. All of us, when we go to work, I have a job, I'm a pastor, I also do these podcasts. When you are employed by somebody else, or if you have your own business, or if you're maybe a stay-at-home mom or you're retired, we all live with this tension of, what if my job isn't there tomorrow? What will I do if I lose this money? What will I do if I lose my house? What will happen if the government changes its rules and I can no longer get the assistance that I'm getting? What if? That's what work does to us. It makes us anxious. Remember that work is a curse. Work wasn't the original plan of God in the way that we have it now. And in Genesis 1 and 2, when God basically condemns Adam and Eve, he tells the man that now from then on, from the moment of their disobedience on, he would have to labor and he would have to work, and it would be a difficult thing. Now, there's joy in work. Obviously, again, Ecclesiastes says that there is a lot of reward and fruitfulness in work, but it is a fruitless pursuit. If you make work and security and stability or fame or money or moving up your end goal, you will be disappointed. You will live an anxious life. I mean, how many of us, even though we have a job, we're afraid of cuts? I was just talking to a friend the other day. She was telling me that 40 people are being cut, and then there's 50 more, and she could be one of them. Even if you have a job, we live in this conscience, in this content, in this in this constant state of fear. And that's why the Bible says in Matthew 6, once again, to not be anxious, because you know what? That job could be gone. You might be in education and healthcare and as an artist, entrepreneur, obviously. I mean, if you think your house is everything, just think back in 2008, right? And what happened, and that could happen. Some people say it happens every 10 years. So this is 2018. The bubble may burst again in a year or two, or I mean, God forbid, but these things happen to economies. If you live in another part of the world, the government could do this, or civil riots, or I mean, even a hurricane or a natural disaster could change your life as you know it. And if we are working to try to find peace in our job from that paycheck, you will always be disappointed, because our confidence is in the Lord, not in our work. Number three, death has no victory over you. And so stop working to prevent bad things from happening to you. Let me go back to this passage and read to you a little bit of what 1 Corinthians 15 says, speaking of the resurrection and death and the mystery of it all and life in Christ. Verse 50 says, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." So he's just using a lot of lofty language to say that these bodies can't enter eternity. I mean, why would I want this overweight body that has acne and that, I don't know, I'm losing my hair here and there? Why would I want this old body to go to heaven with me, right? So that's what he's saying. And even more, maybe theologically, he's saying that anything that is sinful, anything that is not in the light, cannot enter the light, right? Cannot enter God. So that's what he's saying. Verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. That's another big thing. Basically, he's saying that not everyone will die. And so you think, wow, people say that the two certainties in life are death and taxes. Well, according to Paul here, not everyone will literally die. And that's because he's talking about the rapture, that there will be some who will be alive. Let's say they're 40, 20, 30, or 80. And then God, Jesus, will come, and so they will never experience physical death. I certainly will want to be one of those, right? Who wouldn't? You say, ghost of belt for that one. Verse 52, in a moment, here it is, in the twinkling of an eye. So this is talking about quick and expediency. At the last trumpet, so apparently there are many trumpets, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised immediately, or first, says the NIV, and we will be changed. So now he's talking about the resurrection. I don't want to get too much into that. That would be a very interesting podcast that I can do, but I'll just stick with the basics. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. So he's restating the first point he made. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's a an Old Testament quote there. And then here it is. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. So that's where I get that idea of death has no victory over you. If you work to try to prevent bad things from happening, meaning unemployment, homelessness, all these bad things, no health insurance, your kids don't have shoes, and you can't put gas in your car, which are all normal concerns. But if you live with that fear of dying or of something going bad, you will never be able to fulfill your destiny. You will live a very just miserable life. You will live a horrible life. Instead, what God says is death is no longer your fear. Even death itself, even if you were to lose your job or you can't afford school and be homeless, God forbid, and something horrible would happen, even if that happens, is the point here. If you are in Christ, if you know Jesus, who cares? Because you will spend the rest of your life with Him in eternity. And I know that sometimes, I don't know about you, but to me that sounds almost like fluffy. It doesn't really sound real. I am such a control freak. I want to have my car with my car wash and my body in shape and my job to be secure. And I want everything to be certain. And yet nothing is certain in this life. We live in this illusion of certainty, and yet we fight against uncertainty tooth and nail. But that's why the Word of God is so important. It says, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Even if we were to lose everything, Jesus is saying, you have gained eternity. You have gained life with me. So that's powerful. Number four is work for God, not man. It's the same thing that he's been saying here. He's saying, keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on Christ. You know, for me, one of the things that I have always dealt with since I was a young man is fear of man, fear of man. I think being an immigrant and being afraid that I was going to be deported one day, growing up with my grandma without my family, thinking that maybe my grandma would one day have an illness or pass away and I would be left alone in my apartment when I was 9, 10, 11, 14. And then perhaps being always a non-majority person as a Latino man working in mostly white environments, not that anyone ever pushed me out. If anything, the church has been very gracious to me. But just my trauma from the past, always, even to this day, I'm about a lot better now, but has made me fear man, especially those in power who can vote me out, who can reject me. And in the church, there's so much rejection. There's so much love, of course, and affirmation and prayer, but pastors and any of us creatives are constantly in this fear of being just thrown out and thrown out to the street. And because it happens so much to pastors, they typically last 2 to 3 years in churches, you know, because people get tired of you and they get mad at you and blah, blah, blah. And so when you are in church, in the church world, or maybe it's your husband who has an unstable job and thank God for those jobs that are stable. I don't know. I guess there's still some of those left. But when you live in that fear, you begin to work for man. You begin to do whatever it takes to keep your job, to make others happy. And the minute that you begin to think that way, you have lost the battle. God has not called us to live in fear. Of course, show up on time. Hey, I'm not saying don't do what you're supposed to do. But when you're living in fear of what others may say, then that is the beginning of your death. Think and work for God. Now, what does it mean to work for God? I've heard that my whole life. I think it means to only fear God. It really means to know that He's the one who has your future. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Not because someone has they can stamp your checks and you can then go cash it. Yes, that's how we see life. That's what we see here on earth. We worry about those things. Or if you're an entrepreneur, you worry about who's going to buy my product, or am I going to get enough followers and all these things. If you're a YouTuber, yes, you worry about the physical things. Am I beautiful enough? Am I popular enough? Is a YouTube algorithm working for or against me? I get it. We worry about the things of this earth because we only see what's in front of us. But God is constantly saying, work for me, not man. He says here, abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's partly talking about ministry. And so I encourage you, if you are a part of a church, do the work of the Lord. Help in the church. Do the things to help the poor, the kids, the widows. Do the stuff that ministers to people. But I think the bigger idea here is that that's why he says, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Your toil is not in vain because it's not for people. It's for God, and He will take care of you. And then the last thing is really just that verse again. Be steadfast. Don't give up. Keep going. If you have all of these things lined up, if you're living with eternity in mind, you realize that anxiety is not of God, you realize that death has no victory over you, you're working for God, not man, guess what that does to you? Guess what that does to your work ethic? It just raises everything up. You work harder. I mean, does it, if you're an employer, let's say you have employees, wouldn't you want your employees to work harder, not for you, but for God? Wouldn't you want employees to be self-motivated? I mean, I read all these blogs and LinkedIn stuff and all this stuff on entrepreneurship and business and marketing. And everyone wants employees that are self-motivated, that are in their sweet zone, that are doing things out of love, not out of duty. Well, how do you get that kind of employee? Well, I think at the end of the day, these are people who love God more than man, who love and fear God more than their paycheck or the loss of a paycheck, who do things for the sake of the kingdom of God, even if they're an architect or a firefighter, not for the sake of this world. They're not looking to just get rich or to even have safety and security as much as we need those things. Matthew 6 says, seek first, second, third, fourth, fifth, the kingdom of God. First for 10, seek the kingdom of God. You think you're doing it, do it again and again and again. And then all these things will be added onto you. There's a 1-2 step. There are a few steps in the Bible. I mean, 10 commandments come to mind. But you know, everything is a life, right? This is a mystery. This is a relationship. But that verse is very clear. First, second, third, fourth, seek the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It's the things I've been saying. Live with the end in mind. Work for God, not man. And as you do that, everything else will be added onto you. All the things you need. That nice vacation, maybe that 401k, perhaps you want to help your parents, you want to send some money back home, you want to give more at your church, you want to simply just have enough to pay your own bills. All of that will be added onto you. And that will then motivate you to work even harder, to work, do even more, to serve God even more through your job. In my case, as I've said, as you know, I've worked in ministry and church, in the church world since I was 20, 23, 21, 22, 23. That's where my livelihood has come from. And I've tried a couple other things on the side, but really, I mean, 1,000% of my income and my passion, really, forget income, is the Church of Jesus Christ, a local church. And I would say that I can honestly say that, let's say that's whatever, let's just say 25 years, right? Let's say 30 years. 30 years, 52 weeks, that's what, 1,500 weeks? I've worked my butt off 1,500 weeks out of 1,500 weeks. Of course, I've had days when I'm like, I'm so exhausted. Of course, I mean, I'm not a robot. And of course, if I'm sick or just simply overwhelmed, I mean, church is overwhelming. I'm sure I've had those moments, but I can say before God that I have been motivated to the nth degree because I see my work as valuable. I see it as it's unto God, not man. Now, have I always used my voice? Have I always lived in my authority? Of course not. Have I lived in fear of man? Oh my goodness. Probably 90% of the time. And it's only crippled me, kept me back. It's only made me smaller, weaker. It's taught me who not to be. And then by the grace of God, in the last maybe 10 years, he's given me authority, love, conviction, a resolve to help more people, to give even more of myself, to preach the good news to the gospel, to not compromise in my own life or for the truth of Jesus or the local church, but to fight for the church, to stand as one of those Woolworths, as one of those men and women of God that are going to stand for God's love in an era of war and of divisiveness and hate that we see all around us. And that all comes because I know that the battle belongs to the Lord and my work is not in vain because it's God's work. And that's what you're doing too. That's why it says here, be steadfast, immovable. Aren't those great words? Don't you want to be steadfast? Don't you want to be immovable? Don't you want to not fear no matter what your boss says or what rumors are out there that you might be out next month? Of course you do. How do you do that? Work for God, not man. Work for God. Know that your toil is not in vain because it's for God. And he will reward you. And that's the beauty of all this. You know, it's not as if God just says, okay, thanks for serving me, now go and be homeless. No, God is so gracious that when you put him first, he gives you everything. I have everything, guys. Everything I could ever dream of. First of all, my beautiful wife of 23 years. I mean, that's everything. And then from there, these three amazing teens that I love so much. And then I'm here ringing bells and speaking into a microphone. I mean, for goodness sake, right? And then, of course, my church I love so much. And all the churches that I've been a part of in my 30 years of ministry life, I've loved them all. I consider all the people that I've had the chance to serve alongside of, my spiritual children, my mentors, my fathers. Some of them have been my mothers. They have been an amazing, amazing, it's been an amazing experience. And I can't wait for 50 more years of this. I'm almost 50 and I can't wait to be 100 serving the local church for the rest of my life. Because I don't work for man. I don't work for a paycheck. God knows I need those things and he will take care of that. There are times of difficulty. I've been through those. Maybe you have as well. But though there's pain in the night, ghost so comes in the morning. Serve God. Work for the Lord. Stand for justice. If you see injustice being made of someone who's valuable and they deserve $5,000 a month and they're only being given $1,000 because of injustices and this and that, stand up for those who are being abused. If you're someone who is being unjustly treated or unjustly paid, you speak up. I know you're afraid and you want to keep your job, and oh my goodness, all those things are real, no matter where you live, here or another country. But God will take care of you. He will take care of you because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future. Life is worth living just because he lives. Amen. My prayer for you today is that you will live in the peace of Christ, surpasses all understanding. And if you're unemployed or underemployed or unjustly employed, I'm praying for justice in your life. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you subscribe to my membership, to my Facebook page. Make sure that you also become a part of my YouTube channel where you see daily videos of things that I'm learning and sharing with you to encourage you along your way on Facebook, YouTube, or Periscope. Just look up my name in any of those platforms and you will find me right there. And as I said, be a part of the Gozo community Monday through Friday, every day here on this podcast. I can't wait to see you again. See you tomorrow. Thank you. Adios.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android. Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.